All right, hello everybody, and welcome. So excited. We have a special guest today for the Six Figure Biz Academy. And I'll tell you, we set this up such a long time ago. I'm excited that we're finally here. Really happy to introduce Katie Collins to all of you. And Katie is going to do a special talk on one of my favorite topics, something that I really think just absolutely moves the needle, and that is mindset for sales success. So very important. So let me just give you a quick, like a couple sentence bio for Katie, and then I'm going to turn it on over, and she is going to take it from there. So Katie Collins is a sales boosting, client generating business strategist who helps coaches, healers, and online experts to get over their fear of sales and visibility so they can make an impact, make the impact and the income they pictured when they first started their business. And I'm sure there's a lot more to Katie's bio, but I am going to turn it over to her. She can share a little bit about how she got to where she is now. I've actually heard your story, Katie, so it's actually really quite compelling. So feel free to share, you know, your story and give everyone a little bit of context in terms of how you got to where you are today. So, all right. So welcome, Katie. Really happy to have you. I'm going to go ahead and mute myself. I'll be here listening. And I will also, you know, you let people know how you want to handle questions and, you know, the conversation. I can, help manage this chat on my end as well. So whatever you need, okay. I am happy to help.
All right. And how much time do I have?
We have, let's see, we have 1 hour.
Okay. So, that's what I figured. Perfect.
Yep. We have until, yep, 1 hour exactly.
All right. I just like to set myself a timer. Keep myself on track, but we have plenty of time, and like it's not going to be rushed. And I really brought in some exercises too, so that you're not just sitting and listening for an hour. So yay!
Yay! Love exercises.
So, I'm a former teacher, so I totally get how to teach something. And you know, for some people, they come with the idea of like what sales means, and you may get like a certain feeling in your body. And for some, it's like, I love sales. And I'm one of the weird ones that says that. And for others, they might just get this pit in their stomach, like, oh, right? Like, I wished that my business, I just want to help people and I don't want to sell it, right? So if that's you, you're in the right place. And even if you're in the middle of the I love sales versus I wish I never had to sell, if you're somewhere in the middle of that spectrum, I promise this will be applicable for you. So I do have some slides to share, and you're going to want a piece of paper, just a blank piece of paper. And it's okay if it's in a notebook, you know, but we're just going to kind of draw a box and write some things in it. So piece of paper and some sort of writing utensil. And let me go ahead and share my screen and hit play here. So I'm not going to be able to see the chat, but I'm happy to answer questions if you pop them in the chat. I'm happy to address those, I guess, towards the end so that I don't lose my train of thought. So that said, please give me some detail around the question instead of what did you mean by that? Because then I'm not going to know what that meant if I read it 45 minutes later. So, okay. So welcome to Mindset for Sales Success. And really the idea behind what I'm about to teach today is that bigger visions require an expanded mindset. You cannot get to the vision you have with the mindset you're holding on to right now. So today is all about, okay, how do we unlearn some of the beliefs or some of the even rules that we were taught along the way when it comes to sales? How do we unlearn that and kind of capture our way to fall in love with sales that's more heart-centered? So, I just want to say thank you, Leslie, for the opportunity. It's so nice to finally meet you in person. And like she said, you know, we've been chatting for such a long time and it's just morphed. but it's just my delight to be here today. And I want to just start things a bit differently. So I'll share about myself in a little bit, but I wanted to start just with an energizer activity first. So if we were face-to-face, I'd have everybody stand up, but since we're not, we're going to just stay in our seats. But it's a simple exercise called look around. And so you're going to move your head. So this isn't the eye doctor where you just move your eyes. You're actually going to move your head. So if I say up, you move, you know, tilt your head up. If I say down, tilt your head down. And of course, to the left and to the right. And mine may be backwards to yours. And I'm not going to check if you're correct on the left and the right. So I'll trust you. But so I'm going to give you those directions for like 30 seconds and then we'll go from there. All right. So I can only see some of you anyways, but let me see if I can change this. Zoom is so funny. Once you're in full screen mode, you lose your mouse. It's the dumbest thing. And then you move it around like, where's the mouse? So I'll keep it where it is. All right. So again, if I say up, down, left, right, and we're just going to do that for a little bit and just trust me. All right. Ready? Okay. Up, down, right, left, up, up, down, up, left, right, down, right, left, up, down. Okay. So not to go on and on about that, but those are the rules that you know. You know up, down, left, right. So now I'm going to change the game a little bit. And you have to do the opposite of what I say. So if I say up, you have to listen and go down. If I say left, you've got to go right. All right, so we're just going to do this for a little bit. Here we go. Up. Right. Down. Up. Left. Down. Up. Okay, cool. So I even, you know, tricked myself out there. So the reason for doing something like that is to understand that when you have to unlearn what you already know, it takes you a second before you can do it, right? It's like, oh, she said up. Oh, okay, I've got to change what up means and I got to go down. And sometimes in business, it's like you have this mindset of what something means. And it may be, you know, sales means that I'm going to be salesy. You know, being good at sales means I'm going to come off sleazy to somebody. And these are things that you have to pause and go, oh, wait a minute. I'm changing my mindset around that. Because if we don't change that root, you will never, ever be a successful salesperson. Not that you won't get sales, but I want you to be successful at it. I want you to be like, all right, I got this, right? And I got this because I'm aligned with what I'm doing. And I know that Leslie is teaching you sales stuff anyway. So we were trying to find like, where do we not, you know, where can we complement each other, but not like teach on top of each other, right? So we're not really here to get a sales lesson, but I do have a free gift that I'll offer you at the end to help you overcome objections. So stay tuned for that. But this is really to get you to say, okay, what do I need to change my mind about sales so that I can actually get good at offering my service to people who really need it, right? And how can I relate to the fact that if I don't offer my service, it's like going to someone's birthday party with a gift under your arm and going in there and saying hi and giving hugs and eating the food and you've got your gift right here under your arm and you walk right out the door at the end of the night with your gift because you were afraid to give it. Because what would they think? Would they think you were too kind or would they think you were pushing something, right? So that's what you have to get your head around is, you know, when, like I will tell you later, but I'm really all about heart-centered sales. And when you wrap your head around the fact that you're showing up in service from a heart-centered place because you have what your people need, it can change the game. But you've got to unlearn some of the beliefs that you've had along the way. All right, let me just double check my point. Yeah, okay. Got some notes here. Okay, so I love this quote from Danielle Laporte. She says, feeling good along the way doesn't mean that you don't work your ass off to get what you want. It means you joyously work your ass off. You don't gripe about what it takes to make things happen. You do the work. And sometimes that work is terrifying and trying and even grueling. cycling and pouring rain, late night rewrites, struggling to open your heart after you've slammed it shut, honoring your word when it would be more convenient to change your mind. When you're connected to the greater purpose of an intention, honoring the call of your heart, not just proving yourself, and there's pleasure in the process, then you can pull off some amazing feats. So I don't know if, you know, raise your hand if you've heard of the Desire Map with Danielle Laporte. She's got some really great, she's so poetic as a writer, and she just has some really great even poems in there and truth bombs and mic drops. Like, you can just open the book to any page and be like, wow. Like, it's a fantastic book. But, you know, I just love how she doesn't gloss over the fact, like, this is, you know, owning a business. It's hard work. Getting to six figures, if it were easy, everybody would be doing it, right? So we all have to learn along the way. So just a little bit about me. In the online world, I'm known as Coach Katie Collins. And what I do is help women coaches and online experts overcome their fear of visibility and or their fear of sales, so that they can package up all their goodness into a high ticket offer that practically sells itself. And so I take them from the beginning to the end, like, what's your niche? Who are you talking to? What do we need to know about them to package up an offer that they would love to buy, and then get it out there and sell it? And in order to sell a high ticket item, which is subjective to say the least, right? For some people, they think high ticket is $600. For other people, they're thinking 60,000, right? In my world, I generally say high ticket starts around $5,000. What this content is coming from is a program I have called Craft a 5K Offer That Sells. And module one is mindset, because no one is going to be able to sell a $5,000 offer if they're not behind, like, the vision and the why of what they're doing. So how I got here, I mentioned earlier, I'm a former teacher, and I was really looking for plan B for career. And I stumbled across the life coaching world, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, I wanted to be a therapist when I was in college. Like, this is just perfect. I love helping people. I love one-on-one work. And I thought you got what you paid for. I still believe that. But in this case, I overspent an enormous amount of money to get a life coaching certification that these days you can get for $25. I ended up paying this company over a two-year span with my training and then my accelerator. Every 6 months I re-upped $25,000. And 2 years later, and as a school teacher, that was like half of my yearly salary. So that was not easy for me to come up with. And 2 years into it, I realized what alignment meant. I realized that different mentors show up very differently. And what I expected for an initial investment of $17,000 and then some, I got a fraction of, because this woman has like a, you know, it's built like a factory farm that you barely got her attention unless you're paying her $47,000 a year. And then you got one 15-minute call a month. That was the kind of coach she was. So I got really clear. I'm cool with high ticket because I love providing value, but I'm definitely not going to charge as much as she did for that minuscule amount of support that I got. And so I started to see through their sales system, and I started to see how I fell into this, I don't know, that like I had to apply and I had to interview, and, you know, it was like practically begging them to take my $17,000, right? Like, just weird stuff that I, when I finally walked away from the company, I got opinions and I realized I get to do business differently. And I get to, now that I'm no longer green, I get to pick mentors that really align more with Katie Collins, right? Like, nothing against that lady, but it wasn't aligned with me, and neither was the community. And so I found another community, and I realized, okay, I've spent $25,000. I've made $2,500. Something's got to give with sales and marketing, and I need to go find that. So that was my mission. And I found another company, and that's where I learned heart-centered sales. So the cool thing is, I never had to unlearn a sleazy sales system because I could recognize it immediately. I'm very intuitive. I like check in with my body all the time with how people make me feel or things make me feel, right? And so I just could tell from going to so many events and really joining the coaching world, I could just see pathways that didn't feel good to me and pathways that did. And so now I bring that. And just a quick story, like I had somebody just reach out to one of my VIP clients and she wanted to have a call with her. And my client said, I'm already working with a coach. So if this is your way of wanting to get me to work with you, you know, I'm not interested. And the woman, you know, pushed forward with the call. And then she ended up making my client feel so awful for 45 minutes going like, oh, and tell me about your little Facebook group. What's it called again? It's almost like the pat on the head, like you're so cute, you know, and oh, by the way, your marketing sucks. And that's why no one's buying and I'm killing it. And you should, you know, and I just was like, see, that's an example of not heart-centered sales. And now that you've felt it from someone, you'll never do that, right? Like that does not feel good. That is not a connection. Anytime someone feels worse when they hang up the phone with you, that was not heart-centered sales, right? So to me, heart-centered sales is all about helping someone align with the vision they have for themselves. And so for all of you, you're all in the health niche, right? Everybody here is doing like health coaching of some sort. Is that correct? Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, so for your people, they're in pain and they want to feel better, or they've got extra weight and they want to let it go, or they're going through changes in their body as they get older and they want to manage the symptoms, right? There's a pain point and we're going to help them get to that solution. And so when you're on a call and you're inviting them into work with you, you don't want them to walk away feeling like, you know, well, God, if you don't do anything, you're just going to rot till you die, right? Like, we don't want that, right? What we want instead is to pull them out of their misery into the vision. So, hey, what you shared with me is that you want to feel better, you want more energy, and the reason you want that is because you want to get on the floor with your grandkids once again, and you want your body to feel better, right? And so, when you share with me what you want versus this conversation around, oh, I can't afford it, I don't have time, it's not aligned. The decision you're making isn't aligned with what you shared you wanted in your vision. So I'm just curious what comes up for you there, right? Like things like that are heart-centered approaches to getting someone to align the vision with the decision. That's a good truth bomb. I'm gonna write that one down. I love it when it rhymes like that. All right. So anyway, that really became my journey of just learning how to have conversations that make people feel empowered, aligned, and ready. And when they're not, I'm very good at seeing that. And so can all of you be at like respecting where they are and checking back in down the road. For whatever reason, if they're not ready, right? It's not about trying to overcome 100% of the objections, but it's to be willing to have a conversation that digs a little bit, uses a little bit more curiosity, and gets people to say, you know, you're right, that's a really good question. I still, you know, my husband still says no, or right, whatever happens. But that is, you know, so that's kind of the background of where I come from, the process that I've learned. And like I said, we're not gonna go too much into that today, but I just wanted you to know from my perspective, what it means to be a heart-centered salesperson. And the bottom line, I want to say too, when one of the biggest shifts for me was when somebody had said, you know, I'm not a coach, I'm a business owner who coaches. And in order to be a business owner, you have to have sales. And so that's the thing we have to wrap around. And I say this a lot when I work with artists and creative people, like, I just want to create, I don't want to sell it, right? It's like, well, at the end of the day, it's either a business or a hobby, and you get to decide by way of learning sales and agreeing that, you know, you can enjoy it. So, you know, I said earlier in the conversation, like having a goal that makes you jump out of bed in the morning, you know, is what you want to be holding on to. Like, why are we here? Why are we showing up? And so a lot of people get stuck in this idea that, I mean, I've got a goal. I'd love to have $1 million, but right. So if there's a part of you that has a big goal that you're kind of shrugging your shoulders going, I don't know how the hell I'm going to get there. Then you're sitting there thinking it's a fantasy. And I want you to shift from the idea that it's simply a fantasy. And you may hear that because your family may tell you that. your non-entrepreneurial but loving family and friends are going to tell you, oh, the economy is so bad right now. That's why no one's buying. No, you shouldn't invest in that other coach. You don't need another coach. Just get out there and do it, right? All those people, stop listening to them. They're so well-meaning. They love you. They don't have a clue what they're talking about. They're not entrepreneurs. So how on earth would they know how to make a decision from the perspective of one, right? And so you have your dream and you have to sit with it in potential. And I'm going to talk to you about pure potential, but these are the three factors you've got to consider. First of all, your desire, right? So for like most entrepreneurs are spending more time planning their vacation than they plan for the growth and expansion of their business, right? So we want to be planning, strategizing. Where do we want to be at the end of the year? And then we backwards map how to get there. If I want to make $20,000, what am I selling to get to $20,000? Am I selling $21,000 products? Am I selling $4,000 or $5,000 product, right? But, and it may be a mixture, but there has to be some planning, right? Based on your desire. All right, then we've got your self-leadership. And so here is the real opportunity of being an entrepreneur. Like, I don't know if you've heard other people say, it's the best personal development you're ever gonna experience is being in business for yourself. I just had like my Facebook ads account get shut down. I have like a love-hate relationship with Facebook. I had just a complete like kind of shit storm happen in my last launch. Tech breaking down, team breakdown, family emergency, dog emergencies, all in like the span of 14 days. And it's really the self-leadership to show up anyway, to be willing to be in that consistent effort, right? Effort in the action, effort in self-care, and effort in getting uncomfortable. And so there was no way I was going to tell my family, oh, sorry, I don't have time to support you right now. I'm going to launch. And there was no way that I was going to tell my dog, oh, sorry, you're in excruciating pain, but could you hold off for 5 days till my cart closes, right? No way. But there was no way I was going to look at my business that I've been working in for 10 years and say, I'm just going to bail. This isn't a good time. I'm just going to cancel. Nobody will care. Right? Like, no, the self-leadership is to say yes and be available for all that's important to you at the same time. And then your capacity. So you can only grow as large as you think you can. You can only expand as far as you allow yourself. And so what is your capacity for risk? Now, I know that if you're in this program, you're clearly, you know, able and willing to risk some financial resources to join a program like this, right? Like you bet on yourself. And so, you know, and that maybe when this comes to an end, that there's an opportunity to bet on yourself again, right? So it's like, what's your capacity for that risk? So these are the three factors that you've got to bring into your goals when it comes to sales. All right. So truth bomb, you can't ever outperform your limiting beliefs. So if you are hearing from your non-entrepreneurial friends and family, oh, the economy is so bad, no one's going to buy coaching right now. Or you're like, I mean, I'd love to make 100K, right? Like any sort of thing like that, you have limiting beliefs that don't believe you're going to get there. So you won't, right? There has to be this like energy of like, I can do this. I see other people doing this every day. I have people that are just like me. In fact, they're not even as smart as me, and they're doing it, right? Like you have to just constantly be convincing yourself that, you know, get out of limiting beliefs and keep up leveling and keep up leveling. And the truth is the work is never done, right? It's like once I got to six figures, then it was like, can I get to 500K? Right? And once I get there, it's like, can I get to 1 million? And then, wow, can I get to, right? Like we're just constantly up-leveling. So don't beat yourself up. Just continue to allow yourself to up-level that. But you've got to be willing to risk. You've got to step out of your comfort zone because everything that you desire is outside of the comfort zone you're in right now. Because if it was not a desire and in fact something you had, that's in the comfort zone. Whatever you have right now, you're comfortable with. Some people are comfortable being broke. Some people are comfortable being ill, right? Like that's their comfort zone. And so everything that we want is outside of that. And this is something you should be saying on your sales calls, right? When people say, oh, I'm really scared to invest in myself. Yeah, I would be too, because it's out of your comfort zone. All that means is it's uncomfortable. It doesn't, like, the fear itself, like, there's a great book by Tara Moore called Playing Big. And she has this whole chapter on fear. It's awesome. Like, when you read about fear, it's very helpful in sales conversations. But you can point out to people, you know, this is a scary thing, but just because you feel fearful doesn't make it bad. We have to understand what fear means. All fear means is, ooh, there's danger ahead. I don't know what this is. I don't know what's around the bend. Right now there's primal fear, and that's what Tara Moore goes into. You know, there's a tiger running your way. Ah, primal fear, right? But there's the unknown, the first day of school, a new teacher, a new home, a new roommate, a new partner, right? There's the unknown, and we fear the unknown, but it's not a bad thing, right? We still have to move forward. Okay, so quick activity here. Here's where you need your piece of paper. If we were in person, I would give you a box that looked like this. but first, I want you to take a, what's the word I'm looking for? A gauge of your current capacity. So what is in your life right now that you're currently doing, you're currently responsible for, that makes you feel empowered? So we're not talking mow the lawn, do the laundry, because you can hire out for that eventually, if not immediately, and you're not going to feel any less empowered, right? But you might not want to pass off picking up your kids, right? You might not want to pass off preparing dinner or spending an hour with your family in the evening, or right? These are things that really matter to you. So what are you currently doing? So we're going to draw a box on a piece of paper, and just inside the box, I want you to make a list, if possible, of 10 things that you're currently doing that you don't want to give up. They're important to you, but they're time, you know, they take your time. All right, so just for time's sake, I'm going to give you a couple examples in case you're sitting here going, I don't know, I know there's more. And know that you can come back to this and add to it later, but you'll get the gist of the exercise. But here are some examples, like a commitment to personal and professional development. I need time for that. Like, I need time to take programs. I need to spend money on that. I need to spend energy on that, right? Constantly growing. Spending time with my family. Exercise is huge for me. It's like a, like, I have to do it. Hosting transformational workshops. So putting on workshops and then showing up and delivering them. Well, when, you know, pre-COVID, of course. But, you know, now doing it online, but those things take time, but you don't want to give it up, right? Like, if you're doing that or you plan on doing that, but no, this is only if you're already doing it. Coaching my clients. I'm already doing it. I love it. I don't want to give it up. Going on vacation. Love it. Hope that I get to leave Colorado someday and travel once again. Business building activities and healthy cooking. These were things that really mattered to me that made it on my list of top 10. Like, I don't want to get rid of this. This is stuff that I really like. All right. And then in the visual, you know, would have written them on little pieces of paper and shoved them into the box. And you get to this place where you're like, you're at your current capacity. You can't fit anything more in the box. So when you think about growing your business and yet you don't have any room, then there's going to be a self-sabotage that gets in your way of expansion because you don't believe in your subconscious that you have space for anything more. So if you're already feeling busy with clients, for example, and you're like, I mean, I really want to double my business, but I can't double my client load. Now that may or may not be true. You may want to, right? But the fact of the matter is, if you want to double your business, where is that going to go? So what I want you to do next is write outside of the box, and it's fine to keep it on that same piece of paper. What else do you want to bring in this year? What other things would you like to be doing that would bring you that peace, joy, and income. They don't all have to bring you all three. But I'm asking, what are things that you want in your world that you're not currently doing that would bring you either peace or joy or income or and or? So those go outside your box. So I'll give you just a few minutes. Not really. I'll give you a few seconds. So this is so fun because I just wrote my list of things that I wrote down when I did this exercise myself, which was 2.5 years ago. And I'm like, oh, I did that. Oh, I did that. So it really helps to write down and get really clear what we want to bring in. So in case you didn't get to 10 or you're kind of thinking, I don't know, just a few that, like for me, I want to buy a beautiful home and I want to be able to put 20% cash down. In my new home, I want a jet tub and I want to take weekly baths. Like I want that to be not like a, oh, yay, I have time for self-care once a month, but really make it a weekly thing. Couple other things. I wanted to fill a new group program and put 20 members in it. I wanted to triple my income. I wanted to get paid speaking gigs and I wanted to get corporate training gigs. So just some of those kind of like, well, that would be nice. That would, right? So this is just the, that would be nice. And I really recommend spending some time on these questions when you've got a little bit more time to think it through. But when you look at what you want to bring in, it's like, I'm already at my current capacity. How am I going to fit all these other wonderful things into this box? Right? So it's like, if you can't figure out how to fit it in, you're going to resist the growth. So what do? In order to expand your capacity, you've got to get a bigger box. We're so much more capable than we think we are. Like our ego self keeps us back. Like we're operating at like 10% brain capacity than what you're actually able to do. And when you learn to prioritize or take a look as a CEO at the stuff you're spending time on that you don't want to do, then you get the mindset of, I may not feel like I'm ready to hire someone, but I'm never going to make the money to feel ready to hire someone until I hire someone. Like, I know that that doesn't make any sense, but it's like, you have to trust, like if you bring on an assistant of some sort or get help for your house or whatever things that you want to like let go of, you have to be willing to expand your capacity to say, I can bring a teammate in here and offload some of this so that I can grow because I can't possibly do it myself. So that's an example of expanding your capacity, believing that you can hire someone. but understanding that, you know, a belief is simply a thought that you just keep thinking over and over and over again. So right now you may have a belief that says, I don't have any money to hire someone. All it is something that you just keep thinking over and over and over again. And the best part about beliefs and perception is you get to change them at any time. There is like literally no ruler out there. It's going to be like, nope, I'm not going to let you change it. It's like just you. And so when you start saying to yourself, it's time to hire someone new, I'm open to finding that perfect person's going to come in and do these things that I don't want to do. When you change your belief, the new thing appears. But the very belief that you're saying, I can't afford it, keeps that thing from appearing because you're not even looking for it, right? It's like The Secret with the red car and what's that like reticular activation system. Like you recognize something that you're looking for, right? So, oh, I want a red sports car. All of a sudden you see red sports cars everywhere. Before you stated that, you never saw them anywhere. So it's the same thing. It's like, oh, once you're ready to bring someone on, you start seeing, for example, a virtual assistant everywhere. Or you hear people say, I have an awesome VA. Do you want an intro? And you're like, yes, because you finally started looking for it, right? So that's just kind of one example. But to really understand changing beliefs, you've got to understand you have two parts of yourself. And, you know, you've probably heard conscious mind and subconscious mind, right? Like that's very psychology related. But this is still very similar. But it's like you have, and these are just different names that we can, they're referring to the same exact thing. You could say your divine self or the universe or your higher self, right? Your unlimited self. You know, some people are like, it's the Holy Spirit flowing through me, right? It's like, oh, I connect to the energy from my crown chakra and my root, right? Like, I've got cords and, right? So most, I don't know if I can say most, but most people that that are in my world that are heart-centered people have a sense of spirituality that understands there's something bigger than just me. Marionette, you know, my life, right? Like something bigger out there. And then you've got your human self, and that's how we show up today. And that's your ego. And, you know, you probably know this, but I don't mean the ego of like, oh, I'm amazing, right? But really like the ego self that keeps you very safe and secure. Like, ooh, I don't know if you should do, ooh, I don't know, spending 30K, ooh, that feels uncomfortable. And your ego is like driving the ship here. Right? Where your higher self might say, you can do it. Go find that 30K. Instead of saying, I can't afford it, ask yourself, where could I get that from? What could I? And I share that example because that is what I paid for my last one-to-one coach. And I remember when she told me how much it was, and my immediate reaction was, oh, I'm not your ideal client. I don't, like, she wanted like $3,000 a month, I guess. And at the time, I hadn't reached six figures and I just could not afford that, you know? But as I talked to her, I realized I really want to work with her. And because I've done all this training, I shifted from there's no way I could do that to, well, how could I do that? Like, I have access to credit. I have excellent credit. Like, can I, you know, and then I always call my mom, never for money, always for advice, because that woman pulled money out of thin air my whole life. And so I just, you know, I was like, brainstorm with me. How can I get this money? Last time I did a home equity line of credit. Now I don't own a home anymore. Like, right? But she brainstormed with me and I found what I needed and I paid her in full. And then paying back that 30K was at a rate that felt more comfortable to me than 3K a month, right? And I got what I wanted. But that to me was my inner being, my divine self that nudged me and said, do it. Figure it out, right? So remember that there are two parts to you. It's so funny. I always pick these cards. I don't have them close, but yeah, I do. Gabrielle Bernstein, Super Attractor, Oracle cards. I don't know if any of you play with those, but they're not religious in any way, and they're not tarot cards. They're just a different sort of like feel good. And the one I picked for this week says, to begin the practice of allowing, I must get out of the way and let spirit give me direction. And I have that propped up on my desk for the whole week to remind myself, I don't have to figure it all out. I get to ask spirit for direction when I need it. all right, so checking in with the frequency that you're tuned to. So I am a certified teacher of the Art of Feminine Presence with Rachel Jane Groover, if anyone's ever heard of her. And this frequency conversation I got from her, I just like to give her credit. But she was asking us, are you tuned into gloomy FM? And that is like listening to the news, following politics, and not that you can't do that, but it's like these things when you're wrapped up in the political conversations or all that's going on Facebook right now, but like following the news and the fires and COVID and sex trafficking, right? Like you can't get out of the gloom and doom that the media for some reason wants to impress upon us. So is that your frequency or are you in reality FM? In reality FM is looking at your bank account and saying, no, Katie, I'm literally broke or I don't have 3K a month to hire a coach. Reality. It's, you know, it's not a story. Like I used to have a coach that would say, oh, that's just your paradigm talking. And I remember like yelling at her, like, it's a spreadsheet. It's not a paradigm. It's math. It adds up. This is what I owe every month. This is what I'm making. You know, but that's the reality. And if you're in reality FM, then what you're doing is you're looking at the current results and you're in all that you're forgetting is that your current results are based on your past choices, actions, behaviors, and being. What's in your bank account now is probably due to the action you took 90 days ago, right? Because you might have like a launch and, you know, then a sales cycle and then, okay, now the money is coming in. But what the reality FM, it's has nothing to do with now. It's that you're looking now at results that are indicate your past. And so for these, your capacity shrinks. So, All right. So then in where you want to be is what Rachel Jane calls your potential FM. And I talked earlier a little bit about like, what's your pure potential? What are you like fully able to do? Right. And so that's when you're in this, I can feel it. It's happening right now. It's coming my way. I know it, right? It's like in your bones. Like, you know, like I just did a launch, I told you, and like, oh, the Facebook ads were a total nightmare. My numbers were worse than they ever have been before by 50%. And I was like, oh, should I even do this? My sales were better than, they were four times as good as last time. With a half of a list size, I 4x'd my sales. Right? So it's like, I had to stay in the frequency of like, I'm going to serve this list, whatever list size this is, I'm giving it my all, I'm showing up, and my results showed, right? But if I stayed in the current numbers, 50% less, right, I could not expand. So the potential FM is really, you know, getting into that feeling and understanding it's happening right now. So if you're ever feeling down or distressed before a sales call or even before you write any copy, emails, you have to ground and like pick a card, like I said, or like I always keep my rose quartz heart here. I hold on to that thing like a stress ball. I just love squeeze, you know, but I just have learned that my energy is so apparent when I watch a Facebook Live and I didn't ground before, I can tell. Like when quarantine first happened, of course, we were all, and I look at my lives from that time when I'm trying to show up as a leader, but I hadn't grounded myself and I'm like, I should delete that. That was not good. So you have to understand the frequency you're in before you put any marketing efforts out there. So I shared already a few of the ways that I like to just reactivate my pure potential. I like to like the concept of earthing. So anytime that I can get outside and put my feet in the dirt or on the grass, meditate, you know, put a blanket down outside, but nature, I will literally hug trees if I can. I don't like people to see me that doing that, but if I find myself, I will hug trees. Oracle cards, making a vision board and looking at it, meditations, affirmations, hypnosis, exercise, right? Connecting with loved ones, like my nephew means the world to me and his four-year-old bright self, you know, brings me right back to the present, right? Right back to pure potentiality. And so we're gonna leave with an affirmations exercise, but before we go, I'm just curious for you, how would you tap into your pure potential? And I won't be able to see the chat right now, but chat it in there so that I can take a look at it later. But this is really a way for you to say, okay, like if I'm, here's what I know I can do. And whether it's a brand new thing or something that you're used to doing. And it could just be, you know, take a shower, sing a song. But yeah. Some sort of commitment to know that you can reset yourself if you want to. So I wanted to go in a little bit, and let me just check my time, 15 minutes. Okay, perfect. All right. So I wanted to go in a little bit, and you may already be familiar with this, but the emotional guidance scale, these are really just great words to be aware of, even for people that you're working with, right? And, you know, it was funny, this now reminds me, I didn't know this guidance scale at the time, and I always tell this story of you've got to speak in your client's real words, like what's coming out of their mouth. And when I first started and I wasn't making any money, it was because I was speaking in terms like this. And it was from my coach. And it was something like, I help you on the ever upward spiral of becoming. And like, Nobody knew what that was, right? Like now as a business coach, I would say back to somebody, if they tried to use that with me, I would say back to them, do you know anyone that's walking around saying, do you know anyone who can help me get on the ever upward spiral of becoming? Because if it's not coming out of their mouth, they're not going to read your marketing copy, right? So anyway, this just cracks me up. But the point is we want people to be on an upward spiral, and including yours. Right? So your emotions that you're feeling are like a compass that points you straight towards the fulfillment of your deepest desires. And so like people used to say to me, where do you feel that in your body? Like that didn't relate to me, but I'm verbal clearly. Right. And so words is what I related to, not like where I felt it in my body, but this really helped me. Like, is it blame or anger? Am I discouraged? Right. And then if I'm discouraged, can I associate some blame there? Because then when I'm there, I can go, oh, well, I don't really need to blame that person. It's just that I'm worried. Why am I worried? Oh, I doubt. And you can just move yourself up, right? But this is such a great tool for understanding like where you are, because if this is the energy, if you're on that downward spiral and that's the energy, when you write an email or you show up writing copy or do a live or a sales call, that energy doesn't make sales. We have to find ourselves somewhere on the upward spiral, even starting at number 7, right? You know, if you can get to contentment, right? And gratitude practice helps with that. But you know, any of those other pieces, like I said, any sort of grounding. but yeah, this is really, you know, the law of attraction and understanding your own vibration and how that so matters when you're putting your stuff out there or even thinking about business. It doesn't even have to be public copy, but just when you're planning, when you're visioning and you're like, oh, I can't even pay my rent tomorrow. Okay, well, we can't start from that vibration, right? And we've got to get ourselves to that better one. All right, let me just check my notes here. Okay. Yeah. So I'm going to give you an exercise and I didn't tell you in the beginning, but, again, I'll probably just tell you about it and you can do a few, but then I think you should do it later on. What I ended up doing was writing it in my journal, which I don't have readily available, but as an example, I'm going to write a list on one side. And then I'm going to use this side as well, but I'm going to start on the back page of the side and then go to the right page of the side for this activity. But for now, you can just write it on a piece of paper if you have. But I want you to think about, you know, what you say on the left side of the page. What do you say when things are not working out? So, you know, insecurity might come up, fear, worry, doubt. I'm not good enough. I don't know how. What if they don't get results? You know, I'm creating this offer. What if they don't get the results? Or, you know, I'm crazy. My family thinks I'm crazy. Maybe I should just quit and get a job, right? So whatever pitying, lowest of low that you might not want to admit to anyone, which I will not ask you to admit to us, right? Private, you and your piece of paper. What are the meanest voices that come in for you? And for the purpose of this, maybe just write 3 so that we can take you through the activity and you can do it later. All right, so knowing most humans, the mean voices can come up pretty quick when we ask for them. Okay, so now imagine yourself with someone you love dearly. Might be a spouse, might be a child, someone that you just love dearly, might be your parents, but just one person. And imagine saying those exact words to the loved one. So for someone, you know, you might picture your 4-year-old child and imagine looking at that 4-year-old child and saying, you're just not good enough. You should just quit. And I can see some smiles. You're like, yeah, why am I talking this meanly to myself? Right. And so then it's getting in the space of what would you say to them instead? And now we're on the right side of the journal page. And for every statement, and I'm going to give you a couple examples. For every statement, we're going to flip the script. So it's going to be the opposite of whatever statement you wrote. So if it says you're not good enough, the opposite of that is you can do anything you want, because that is what you would tell that four-year-old child. So I'm just going to give you a couple examples. You know, when life isn't working out for me, I used to say things like, I'm never going to get what I want. I just felt so beat down in certain areas of my life. And my flip script says, I am worthy and can get what I want. If I felt like I'll never be able to stand on my own 2 feet, right? That was something that I would say over and over again. I'm single. And so, you know, this is, I don't have anyone else's income to rely on for my life here. And that became, I support myself with ease. If I had said, I'm not a good enough coach, better coaches are cheaper than me, then my flip script was, my rates are perfect for my level of experience and the one-to-one work I do. And then one more example, you know, there's so much more I have to do to really make this work, right? Like just feeling like, oh, like it's just never done, which by the way, it is never done. Leslie, you probably agree with that, right? We're always growing, but there's so much more I have to do to really make this work. And that flipped script became, everything I've done up until now has prepared me, and I'm excited about what I will create for my future. Okay, so now you're looking at these two sides. One is the negative, and you know, for the sake of getting, you know, the sake of eliminating that, you could just take a big X through those BS statements. And I always say BS as blind spots, right? These are just statements that you have blind spots that you cannot see your truth, and they're beliefs that you've been saying that are just so not true that they are in fact bullshit too, right? And then on the right side, you've got a list of affirmations. And those affirmations didn't come from Katie Collins and they didn't come from Louise Hay. They came from you. And those are the only affirmations that you need to get your business to the next level, because they came from your heart and your soul. And I'm like, I'm getting chills. Every time I teach this exercise, it's like, if you're willing to like light a candle and get into it tonight and really do this and write out like 15 to 20, and then you have your affirmation side, it's like, okay, type them up, make them pretty, print it, hang it up, read it every day. Right? These are things that are going to keep you on the upward spiral. You will be amazed. Anytime you don't feel good, when you find yourself on that downward spiral with those words, the tool is to go to the affirmations. The affirmations get you back onto the upward spiral. And back in the beginning, when I talked about fantasy or potential, you get to choose. You get to choose if you believe that what you want to do is a fantasy, and you get to choose, no, it's not a fantasy. I can do this. I want to do this. I was guided to do this. My heart and soul led me here. My life journey, my own health journey, loved ones, right? Led me here. This is my gift. And I get to do it. And so that's the potential. All right. So I'm going to, of course, stop share so that you can ask questions and whatnot. I know we've got like 6 minutes left, but I wanted you to be able to stay connected with me. So I have a Facebook group. If you like to be in a group with a bunch of women and some, I always say, lots of cool sisters and a few awesome misters are in the Entrepreneur Sisterhood. I do have opportunities for promotion, collaboration, that kind of thing. I have a special extra promotional day for women of color. So that is a place for you where you actually get to drop your promo. So it's kind of a nice place, but I also go live in there once a week. And then I also have this free gift I mentioned earlier, and it's how to overcome 5 of the most common objections for high ticket sales. And that's just a bit.ly link, and it is case sensitive. This is really like question, a little bit of a script, but not word for word, because I want it, you know, heart-centered sales comes from you, right? But I give you some good questions to ask for each of the scenarios, like I don't have time, I don't have money, I've talked to my partner, now's not the right time, and I'm blanking on the fifth one. But these are the common things that you hear, and I just give you some curiosity questions to see if that is, in fact, the objection. Part of heart-centered sales is willing to put a stake in the ground and ask curiosity questions when they object, instead of being like, okay, thanks, bye. Call me when you're ready, right? Like that's not the way to do it. So asking curiosity questions I can promise you, it could turn 50% of your no's into a yes, if you're willing to put that stake in the ground and say, you know, hey, like, let's chat about your vision versus your decision. Right. And so that is that. And I'm just going to stop share so I can see all of you. And awesome. Sounds a little bit like Simon says, yes, you're right. Up, down. cool. So yeah, any questions or feedback or yeah, buts that are coming up for you with what I shared? I'm like, take yourself on back, put yourself back on video. Oh my gosh, you guys are all so quiet. You can unmute yourself.
I enjoyed this, I will say. This is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. Thank you.
It was timely because it's not just this. It's not just our businesses, but it really is. I can see it. It just really is quite nice to have like that frame of that's what I'm trying to do versus thinking, you know, so strongly of I've got to make money. I got to make money. That really has a nice way of grounding it. But it to me, it feels applicable to a lot of other life situations in terms of, you know, preparing someone for anyone to make any sort of a tough choice.
Yeah.
But really gives you like, you know, puts them into this frame of mind where they'll feel empowered to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, I felt like that was, I used to live in the Bay Area of California, and empowered and aligned were like words, like black and white. Right. And I was like, I'm not going to use the words everyone else is using. And what does that even mean? And then when I finally got what it meant, like, I think somebody had said like, that's alignment. I'm like, like I just had to really experience it. And now I just love those words because it's not lip service. It's actual feeling. Like I finally, right. And I think I learned about the energy body to understand what alignment really meant, that there is an energy body in me that's going to go ding, ding, ding. That doesn't feel right. Versus yes. Right. That's the alignment. So
I really enjoyed the visual. Like to me, I would never have thought of capacity by envisioning the box. Mm-hmm. And that really, like, I don't know. I'm definitely a visual learner, but I've been finding a lot of my clients, especially as we come, you know, adults, learners are definitely like that capacity piece can really help you think of just how, you know, you can hold yourself in so tightly from, you know, I think that just was really, I'd never heard that before. And I really enjoyed that.
Good. Good. Any questions or thank you so much, Jennifer. I love your feedback. Yeah. Yeah. Leslie.
Yeah. Could you repeat that last part that you shared? I didn't quite catch it where you talked about, but I think you said, if someone says no, that you recommend reaching out and asking them if they'd be willing to talk about their vision. Is that what you said? Or so, did I get that right?
So, like usually for high ticket sales, I always recommend phone calls versus depending on the sales page. It depends, sure. Right? But if I'm enrolling someone in my VIP, I don't want them to click a button because I want to like them as much as they like me, right? Mm-hmm. So on the sales call specifically, if somebody says, you know, wow, like sticker shock, I didn't know it was going to be that much, you know, or that's not even that, because that might be, you know, something you can't overcome. But if they're like, I love you and I have the money, but I don't know. It just feels like now is not the right time. My kids are going back to school, homeschooling, yada, yada. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, got it. Can I ask you a question about that? So I always get permission to ask the questions. Yep. And then I go back to, you know, and then I say, since we're in the conversation for me to be your coach, would it be okay if I coached you just a little bit right here, right now? And they love that. Everybody loves free coaching. And then I say, you know, what I notice is this lack of alignment with the vision that you shared earlier today and the decision you're doing now. Is what you shared with me earlier, in my case, you know, that you want the last quarter of 2020 to be the best sales of the year, but you're making a decision that takes the business away from the forefront and puts it behind you and puts your kids in front. And yet you're telling me you need the money and right. So do you see that lack of alignment? So that's kind of what I do. Yeah.
Okay. I love it. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for clarifying. I love that. Yeah. I think it's just so important. And guys, we've talked about this in the Academy. You're doing them a huge favor by getting underneath that fear. And I like that approach of helping them to, you know, see the disparity, like, wait a second, you know, and of course, always ask for permission. Super important.
Yep.
And just help them to reconnect with that vision. And that, wait a second, there really is a disparity between what you just shared with me and the fact that, you know, XYZ is your number one priority, and yet it's not quite aligning with, you know, your decision. Can we talk about that? Super powerful.
Yeah. And see how that goes deeper than trying to convince somebody they have the time. Well, it's only 2 hours a week. Can you find 2 hours a week? Right? Like that is like a little bit aggressive. And so it's like, I'm not going to try to solve that problem because I know the root of it is that you're lacking commitment for change because you're afraid of what I'm going to ask you to do. Am I going to have to give up sugar and alcohol when my kids are homeschooling? Right?
God forbid.
Already like, this is going to be really hard. And so it's your job to be like, what's going on inside, you know? So tell me what homeschooling has to do with. Then they go deeper into it and they say, well, I just know that you're going to tell me to change my diet and give up alcohol. There is no way I'm giving up my red wine right now. Right now we get to the root of the real objection, and it's fear that making these changes, that they're incapable of making these changes. Right. And now you may not convert that into a sale that day, but man, when you know what the root is, you can connect with them a million other times until they're ready. Like they love you for how you make them feel with the tough love a little bit, right? Like you're not like, oh, I understand. I have kids too. It's really hard.
No. Bye-bye. Yeah. Oh, right? Guys, I love that. That's a great way to put it. A little tough love goes a long way.
Yeah. And that's
and
where
don't I, let them. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. I was going to say, you're just helping them not sabotage themselves the way they've done it 100 other times.
Yeah. And it's like, I always say, like, put the stake in the ground, you know, I'm inviting you to put the stake in the ground. What if I could tell you that, you know, we can work around your schedule? Like, you know, a lot of things that I'll say to people is like, this is my VIP program. That means you're VIP. If you need to switch a session, I'm not going to be like, well, that'll be a $250 charge and you're forfeiting it, unless it goes on and on and on that way, right? But I tell them, like, I'm available for you. If something comes up with your family, just call me. Right? Like, no big deal. You know, so I have boundaries, don't worry. But with my VIP people, I let them, you know, shift according to their life because I get it. Right? But people like to be met where they are. Every objection, meet them where they are and invite them to see it from a different point of view. But if you address the objection with an argument, you will lose every time. And that's true for teenagers. And it's true for elderly parents and for potential clients. Yeah. So, oh, I hear what you're saying this. It sounds like that's important to you. And
I love that.
Yeah.
So like logic is not going to get you very far, right? Using logic is, not going to work out so well. Okay. Barbara has her hand up.
Yeah. Barbara. Hi.
Hi, thank you very much, Katie. This is great. I love the both exercises. I can see using them even with clients.
Yes, great.
So if you could share the Bitly link in the chat, that would be great. But I just wanted to share a situation because one of my, and I've, you know, do what you can with this one. One of my clients actually canceled and put kind of her stuff, her visits on hold. She said family. So I dug a little bit deeper and she told me like it was her father who has pancreatic cancer. So I tried to encourage her to continue, like, you know, we can still work together. So, because this is a critical time that she may be in a point of overeating due to stress and less self-care. But, you know, I didn't push it too well, too hard, because I understand the situation. And I was just wondering if you had any, go-to words for that type of a situation when someone has a health issue that they're, you know, that they're dealing with at home, and it could be a help to have the continued support.
So that's exactly how I would approach it. But I do try to tread lightly here, because I never want them to think like that I don't care about this other thing, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to think it's about the sale or something like that. So I'll say, you know, I totally hear you. My, you know, of course, like empathize. And then I would say, you know, at the same time, my concern is, from what I know about you, is that when you start to feel like you're losing control, you kind of revert back to the very things that you hired me to help you with. Would you agree? And I kind of get them on board. And then I would continue and say, you know, that's why I feel like even if we reduce the time that we work together, but continue the relationship, I think it would do you wonders to be able to experience. And then you could teach about the capacity, right? Because you could say, like, I would love to see you experience yourself holding a bigger box, where not only do you take care of your loved ones, but you can also take care of you at the same time. And that's what I'm teaching you anyway. So would you agree that having that support during one of the most difficult times, you know, would really serve you? And then I say, I'm not making this about the sale. I sincerely care about you. I want, you know, like, it's ultimately up to you, right? So I do kind of back, not back down, but I try to soften it when it's a very sensitive situation like that.
Right. I just don't want her to lose progress. It's sincerely. And
neither does she. Right? Yes. Like, mm-hmm. Neither does she. It's like you've made this huge investment, you know, time, energy, money, right? And I don't want to go backwards, but not even about that, but just really learning how to live in chaos with more grace than you ever have before. And you need someone to hold you accountable to that, or to, you know, lifeline, right? Like that you can call me if you need me, or, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Good luck.
That's a tough one. All right, everybody, we are a little over time. So we are going to have to say goodbye for today. Thank you so much, Katie. It was really great to get to know you, get to meet you. Thank you for an awesome presentation and some really great exercises. I think everyone got a ton out of it. And I really appreciate your time very much. So,
awesome.
All right.
I loved being here. Thank you all so much. And I hope to see you in my world as well. So thank
Absolutely.
You so much.
Absolutely. Okay, everybody. Thanks. And to my Academy members, I will see you next Wednesday. All right. We have a Q&A session. So if you have questions that you already know you want to ask, please send those in. Otherwise, we can take off the cuff questions as well. But I want to make sure that you guys are feeling good to go. We'll do some laser coaching and Q&A next week. All right, so have a great rest of your week. Thanks again, Katie, and take good care, everybody. Bye-bye for now.